His eyes noted the visible tattoos over the man's body. So, are you a customer, or do you work there? The man cocked his head to the side. You don't know who I am? You're the one who said I must be new here. I haven't exactly had a chance to get to know everyone on the block. Hey, that's a fair fucking point. The man put out his cigarette and pushed himself to his feet. He took several steps forward. Ed. And yeah, I do work here.
Hello there, Carly Heath here. We're doing something new on the pod. Our main podcast episodes are usually bi-weekly, but on the off weeks, we'll record excerpts of our favorite fics. These are short episodes, minisodes, tiny pods, if you will. Appetizers. Now that sounds like some sort of thing you take when you get a bee sting. No matter, this is a work in progress. How are these fics chosen? Really, truly, there's no gatekeeping on here. If you find a fic and you love it enough to record yourself narrating it, and then you get the author's permission, you can send it in. So in short, if you want to record something for us, go right ahead, keep it under 30 minutes, get the author's permission, that's important, and then send it to me at ourflagmeansfanfiction, all one word, at gmail.com. And then I'll put it up as an appetizer. This week, Kate, known as Ya Filthy Nerds on Insta, Twitter, and AO3, has chosen Like a Flower in Bloom, How the Ink Flows Over Your Skin by Change the Circumstances. It's a tattoo slash flower shop modern AU, and it's incredibly well written. Great dynamics between Steed, Lucius, and Oluwande, and some tags that may get you interested include Lucius is the voice of reason and the relationship advice king. And also, slow burn because they won't tell each other even though they practically fell in love at first sight. It's delightful. Have a listen.
Steed Bonnet painfully swallowed as he stood in front of the shop. It was a fairly crowded area. There weren't too many people out and about now, but that was likely because most places seemed to close at 5. The only places that were still bustling were a few restaurants and a bar, club. He had no idea what the technical difference was, and the only name Steed had seen was Jackie's, scrawled across the entrance when he'd walked by. He wondered if the place was well-known and loved, or if it was only popular because it seemed to be the only bar, club, whatever, in the given area. There were cars still parked out along the streets, but most probably belonged to a range of employees as they packed up shop and closed for the night. There was a small park that was sat in the center of it where three streets intersected. A sign proudly proclaimed the area as this city's 5 points. Technically, it was 3 points, but apparently the name was unanimous with a certain type of atmosphere. That's what Steed had been told. What that atmosphere was meant to be was hard to say. Steed was sure in the daylight it might be quite nice, but as the sun dipped lower, it darkened the shadows and sharpened the corners. Loose bits of trash, particularly in the park, seemed to stand out. A single bird squawked as it landed on a statue in the park. It was certainly a place Steed never would have found himself before, but desperate times called for desperate measures. Steed's eyes traveled back to the store in front of him. He softly spoke the name out loud. Full Bloom. And then, in smaller text beneath it, For All Your Wooing and Breakup Needs. Air left his nose. It was hard to say if he thought the subtitle truly amusing or eccentric. It was certainly more memorable. I don't remember seeing that before. Well, Steed slowly let out a shaky breath. He tried to keep the anxiety off his face. He wasn't doing a very good job of it. This is it. The words were meant to psych himself up. They honestly just made the anxiety worse as he forced his feet to carry him to the door. He pushed it open. He hadn't seen anyone moving in the storefront. For a split second, he got a chance to look at the different flowers and plants spread out over the store. Then a young man practically appeared in front of him just as the door was closed. Steed jumped as the man quickly said, We're just closed, actually. Sorry. I was told to come after business. Steed didn't get a chance to finish the sentence. The man did it for him. Business hours? Uh-huh. So you're here for the interview, then? The man spoke quickly as he gave a quick look over before doing a second, slower look, like he was correcting what preconception he'd had. His hand came out, body moving just as quickly as his mouth. I'm Lucius. We can talk in the back office. Steed Bonnet. However, the introduction was drowned out and the handshake unfinished as a man appeared from the back. Steve just barely missed shaking Lucius's hand as the man turned around at some shouted words. I left the key for you in the front office. I'm going to meet up with... Sorry, mate. We just closed. Lucius leaned up against a shelf and crossed his arms. It allowed the new person a better view of Steed. This is our interviewee, actually. Oh. The man looked Steed up and down, doing a double take like Lucius had. Well, if he's a scammer, he looks like a damn bad one. The man came forward. Oluwande, he introduced himself. He gestured at Lucius. It'll be nice to have someone actually working here besides myself. An over-exaggerated gasp left Lucius's lips. He swatted at Oluwande as he passed them. Steed started to sweat. He hadn't been invited to sit down, so he remained standing. I haven't quite figured out when the best time is to say this, or perhaps there's never a best time. My parole officer hasn't exactly been helpful in the finer... Parole? Lucius was leaning forward now. His eyes shined with curiosity and interest. Fuck. Lucius arched an eyebrow at the curse. In all fairness, it had simply slipped out. Steed had still been trying to get his thoughts straight before giving out any details. To no avail, apparently. You can sit down, Lucius added. Something tells me you'll need to. Steed quickly did so. He opened his mouth. At first, the words had caught in his throat. They still did now, but at least the raw emotion had become somewhat muted with time. I'm a convicted felon. Well, that explains the 2-year gap in your resume. We were wondering about that, too. What was it? Money laundering? Something equally white-collar of you? The moment flashed through Steed's mind. The anger. The want to shut Nigel up, if only for a second. And then for that second to turn into eternity. Involuntary manslaughter. Oh. The room grew very quiet. This was it. Another rejection. Steed was supposed to have a job by the end of the week, but everything had just turned him away. Not the experience they were looking for. Too old. Not enough experience in that line of work. Too much experience. The wrong kind of education. Too educated. And then some just outright said it was because he was a convicted felon. No sugarcoating it. The worst ones had been the potential employers who had let him try, though, who'd allowed him to sit through the entire interview despite how they'd clearly never planned to even give him a chance. Which, honestly, fair enough. Maybe it was easier to say now, but that didn't make the action he'd done any less horrific. But what was he going to do? This was the last one. What was he supposed to tell his parole officer when his last chance turned him away? What would happen? Well, he knew what would happen. He didn't want to end up back in prison, but hey. The sudden moment of tenderness, just Lucius's hand on top of his, was like a shock to his system. Even before the whole trial and sentencing, such a small act of kindness hadn't been a normal thing for Steed. He certainly didn't believe it now, as nice as it was of this stranger. Manslaughter or not, accident or not, he'd killed a man. He'd killed... Hey! This time Lucius said it louder. He removed his hand and snapped in front of Steed's face. You're thinking so hard I can barely hear myself talk. Now, do you want to talk about it? Steed let out a shaky breath. I should tell you. Hey, I asked if you wanted to. Not that you had to. You don't want to? That's fine by me. No pressure here. I'll fill in the gaps myself. This incident happened. You went to prison, got put on parole, and you need a little help getting back on your feet. That sound about right? Yes. I suppose it does. Then I just have one more question. Do you like plants? Oh, yes. Lucia smiled. Let me show you around, then. And with that, Steed found himself being shown around the small shop. Apparently, only Oluwande and Lucius were currently working there. A friend of theirs, Frenchie, had been helping out, but he'd actually started to line up a few gigs for himself. Was a musician, apparently. Which, good for him, but it had left Lucius and Oluwande a little thinned out. "Does it really get that busy?" asked Steed. "Time of the year, of course, affects things, but we do catering-type stuff, too, which can be quite a bit of work. We've had to cut back hours to stave off any burnout. Having a third person will definitely help." What are the cards about? Steve had noticed they were stacked around the place, set with particular flowers and pre-made arrangements. Just a personal touch, all me. I really run the business side of things more and write out notes or poems or whatever the customer needs if they want a card with it. Olu is the one who actually knows his shit about the language of flowers. Not that it ever did him any good. The laugh that left Lucius's lips made it seem like there was quite a story behind that. For the moment, though, he continued to focus mostly on describing the business. He listed the different jobs he and Oluwande did, but there weren't really positions, even if the business was technically in Lucius's name. Once the tour was done, Lucius finished with, "When's the earliest you can start?" "You really mean that?" "It would be a waste of breath otherwise, and lucky for you, I have a soft spot for a good charity case." "I don't deserve charity." The words came out quick, the guilt still so present and flaring up, particularly badly at Lucius's kindness. "Well, not charity then. A second chance." Steed wasn't sure he deserved that either, but he got this distinct impression that he wasn't going to win this argument. "Besides, we stayed later than I was expecting, and I hate walking by Beardy's late at night by myself." "What's that?" Steed tried to remember the stores and the buildings he'd passed. He couldn't remember one with the name Beardy. "Next door on the right. It's the tattoo and piercings place, but everyone refers to it as Beardy's since he's the owner. Not a very pleasant man, so unless you have a secret hard-on for tattoos, I'd say avoid it. I can appreciate good ink as much as the next man, but sometimes the people who hang around there at night aren't the most pleasant either. You have a car?"
"I took the bus."
"Well, the next one should be at the stop down the road in about 20 minutes, and it's on the way to where I'm meeting some friends for dinner. Walk with me."
It wasn't really a question. Not that Steed had a chance to protest it, even if he'd wanted to. Lucius locked up, and the two made it down the street. They passed two people clad in leather that did look rather intimidating outside the tattoo place. They didn't pay them any mind, though, and Lucius didn't look their way either. Once past them, Lucius mentioned a few of the stores they were going by. Despite how the area looked a little scary at night, Lucius's stories managed to give the block some real life by the time they made it to the bus stop. "I'll see you Thursday, then." This time, when Lucius stuck out his hand, Steed actually had a chance to shake it. "Come in early and we can finish up the business side of things before we open."
"I will," promised Steed just as the bus pulled up.
"Then I will see you then. Night, Steed."
"Good night, Lucius."
It felt so odd exchanging such kind farewells. It felt wrong being accepted so quickly and given a second chance.
But what was the alternative? Go back to prison? At least this way he could feel like he was doing something. It was a chance, after all, and even if it all burned down in flames, there wasn't really another option.
Steed Bonnet got back on the bus. He told the driver his stop and got comfortable for the ride back. Back to his empty little apartment, with only a bed, some clothes, and a stack of books to his name. Chapter 2. First Day.
The first official day on the job, Steed took a shortcut through the park and outright screamed when he realized the statue with a bird on it was decidedly not a statue. The bird on top of the head was also very much real, despite how it made no sense for Siegel to be this far inland. Steed had been so shocked that he rushed the rest of the way to the shop. Somehow, he didn't even have to say anything as he burst through the door. Lucia simply gave a knowing look and said, "Ah, I see you've met Buttons."
"Buttons?" Steed asked in utter confusion. "If we're talking about the man in the park, it sounded like he shouted Carl at me."
"Carl's the bird," said a new man with a lisp. The man slid something over to Lucius.
"Thanks for the payment."
Lucius just smirked as he pocketed the slip of paper.
"Anytime, babe."
"Ah, hey, Pete," Oluwande said from the back. "Thanks for breakfast."
"Anytime. See you boys later."
"You know," Oluwande said as Pete turned and passed Steed, "one of these days you're going to have to let me pay for breakfast." The door shut behind Pete. "Not a chance," Lucia said. "I don't want to see a jealous Jim." Oluwande froze. "Oh my God, you're not." Lucia simply ignored him. He pulled out a carton and handed it to Steed. When Steed didn't immediately take it, Lucia said, "What? Don't tell me you've already had breakfast."
"Well, no, actually, you didn't have to," Steed said.
"It's a tradition," Oluwande explained. "Every Thursday and Monday morning, we get in early and have breakfast together. Gives us a chance to talk shop and prep any new catering orders, too.
As long as you're working here, that means you're part of the tradition too. Lucius and Oluwande stayed where they were at the counter. They opened up their respective cartons and unwrapped forks and spoons. After a moment, Steed hesitantly moved to stand with them. He opened his own container. It looked good. Though rather than digging in like the other two, Steed said, "Pete, I think I remember you mentioning his name last night. He's the one who works at the restaurant?" "In the kitchen with Roach and John, yeah," Lucia said, referring to one of their many conversations last night. "I don't think you ever mentioned Buttons." "I honestly forget new people to the area and tourists aren't used to him." "He's a nice fellow, if a bit odd," Oluwande said, "but he's harmless enough." "Say that to Swede's ass," snorted Lucius. "I'm sorry?" questioned Steed. "Mostly harmless," Oluwande amended, without actually explaining what had apparently happened to Swede's rear. "Just avoid staying out late around here when there's a full moon if you're bashful with nudity." Steed felt so confused he didn't even blush. "Moon glow basking," Lucius added. It technically answered Steed's unspoken question, but also not really. "Everyone around here have given up calling on the cops for the streaking. Besides, it usually only happens in the middle of the night when even Jackie's is closed. And don't bother asking what moon glow is. Anything he says won't make any sense." "Is he homeless?" "Oh, no. Though you would sometimes think it looking at him. He actually runs this pagan shop thing, like tarot cards, witchcraft stuff," Oluwande replied. "Lord knows how he runs it, considering he's standing in the park with Carl half the time, but Frenchie is in and out of that place constantly. He really eats up any and all superstitions. If Frenchie's in the area and not performing on the street or at an establishment, he's either in here or the vinyl shop down the way." "The vinyl shop is run by the Swede, correct?" Lucius grinned. "Glad to see you were paying attention last night, and yes, it doesn't have many new releases, but there's plenty of hard-to-find items and used records that aren't being produced anymore. You should check it out when you have the chance." Steed nodded as he finally tried the food. It was far too greasy and a little burnt, yet somehow it tasted like heaven. Most people would have assumed it was because Steed had gotten used to the bland food in prison. To be fair, he had. But it was really just the act of kindness from Lucius and Oluwande that made each bite keep the small smile on his face. At least until Oluwande said, "Is that what you're really going to wear for work today?" "Is it not enough?" Steed worriedly questioned. "Try too much," Lucius said. "Though I shouldn't be surprised considering your last job. I'm guessing you haven't had a chance to go shopping yet." "Well, no," admitted Steed. He had also worried about being overdressed when he'd put on the clothes that morning, but again, it wasn't like he'd had many options. It didn't help either that they were old and hung slightly looser on him. He hadn't realized he'd lost weight in prison until he'd put on shirts and pants that had once fit far more snugly around his frame. "I'm just lucky Mary boxed everything up and didn't throw them away." "Mary?" "My ex-wife," Steed explained, his voice dropping ever so slightly. Oluwande and Lucia shared a look, though Steed had no idea what it was for. "Well, first paycheck, we're taking you shopping then. Besides, the only dress code here is cute and comfortable." It was difficult to tell if Lucius meant that, so Steed had simply laughed. Thankfully, the mood managed to stay light as the talk turned to business. There was a catering order for a wedding coming up, so Oluwande and Lucius talked plans, while also giving Steed a better idea of how the business ran. Surprisingly, Steed found the day moving incredibly quickly. It was obviously an adjustment, but despite a few awkward interactions, Lucius and Oluwande made it far easier than Steed had expected. They finished their breakfast and the business aspects that Lucius had mentioned before. Then Steed had a chance to watch them make a few possible arrangements and listen to the reasoning behind the choice of each flower or plant. Oluwande ended up driving the arrangements to the couple who'd be getting married so he could figure out exactly what they wanted and give them an estimate depending on what kind of setup they'd choose. It left Lucius and Steed to run the shop alone. The thought was a bit anxiety-inducing at first, but it proved to be a rather quiet day. Again, according to Lucius, most days weren't too hard, assuming a major holiday wasn't coming up or multiple large orders didn't come in that same day. When lunchtime came, Steed didn't even get a chance to tell Lucius it wasn't necessary before another friend was coming in with a bag. Roach, Steed quickly learned. Roach left more quickly than Pete as Lucius pulled out two containers. At first, Steed assumed it was for Oluwande, at least until Lucius pushed one towards him. He'll probably stop and eat with Jim before heading back here. Besides, it's no bother. Paying is less of an issue when you know three people who work in a kitchen. I'm just not used to it. I take it you're not used to most aspects of a life like this. Lucius paused in eating. He rested his chin in his hand as he gave Steed another careful look. I recognize the name of the college where you got your degree. Let me guess, you come from a rich family? Very, sighed Steed. And yet now you barely have a penny to your name, apparently, starting fresh rather than having everything handed to you. The words slipped out automatically. The old Steed never would have been so bold. In all fairness, he regretted the words the moment he realized what he said out loud. You must not know that curiosity killed the cat. Lucius raised an eyebrow. If the comment made him uncomfortable at all, he didn't really get a chance to show it as Steed hurriedly rushed out an apology. Oh God, did that sound like a threat? I didn't mean it to sound like a threat. I don't know why. We John used to jack cars. Steed stopped rambling. What? He's the only one you haven't met who works at the restaurant. Oh. Right. He's had some jail time. I got into my fair share of trouble when I was younger, which, I know, remarkable. I'm so youthfully vibrant. It must be very hard to believe I'm in my late 20s. But I was a good pickpocket back in the day. A very good one. So I didn't get into as much trouble as I could have been in, but still. Even Oluwande's been charged with breaking and entering, though in all fairness he actually was innocent for that, took the fall for Jim. Would they be all right with you telling me this? It's ancient history, love. Besides, if I didn't tell you, my point wouldn't stick as well. Which is? Any amount of jail time changes you. Prison changes you. And just because none of us are stuck with a parole officer like you doesn't mean we're angels. Besides, I doubt whatever cellmates you had were particularly chatty. I'm sure you learned rather quickly it was best to keep your secrets close to your chest. Steed made the mistake once. Never again. He simply nodded. Sorry if I was being pushy. Just again, kind of fascinated by your whole situation. Did your family ostracize you or something? Is that why you had to start over? If that's all right with me asking. It's fine. The moment I knew I was going to prison, Mary and I made sure she got everything. That almost makes it sound like you were already getting divorced before the incident. Yes. Actually, it was discussed, and then I'd already failed in so many ways. The best thing I could do was give up what I didn't deserve, what I'd never earned, and simply make sure Mary and the children were taken care of.
You have kids?
Yes. I had a son and daughter. I don't think he sees himself as my son since finding out Doug is actually his father. Steed was looking down at his food as he spoke. It meant he missed out on the overly dramatic facial expressions Lucius was making as he ate up every word. And we were never really close. But Alma and I were closer. My daughter. And whatever they think of me now, no matter how bad, was worth it in order to distance them from the proceedings as much as possible.
But couldn't your ex-wife have given you something to make starting over a little easier?
Mary offered, but I couldn't take it.
A large part was the guilt, still welling up in Steed, but also,
I know I'm still on parole, but it's the freest I've been in all my life. If I had to start over, I wanted a clean start over.
Steed finally looked at Lucius. He could tell the young man was dying to ask exactly what had happened, who Steed had killed, and probably a million other questions. It was hard to say if Steed would have answered any of them now, or if he ever would. For the moment, though, Lucius held his tongue and forced the conversation to go in a different direction. Like if they kept talking about this, then he would just have to ask for details on what Steed had done. It was a small relief not having to face those thoughts now, though, as they talked about other things. Eventually, when lunch was finished, a few more customers came in, Oluwande finally came back, and then Lucius and Oluwande were showing Steed their routine for closing up shop. Steed offered to take the trash out as the two seemed to have all the watering and taking care of the plants down. They pointed him to the back and Steed headed out to throw the trash in a bin. There was a parking lot behind the strip of buildings. An empty shack sat off to one side, like it might be used for selling snow cones in the summer heat or something. Steed walked to the closer bin and tossed the bags of trash in. As the hatch slammed shut, he jumped at the sudden voice. "You must be new here." Steed hadn't been able to see him when coming out, the man having been hidden on the other side of a set of steps that led to the tattoo shop. He was smoking, one elbow leaning against his knee as the other leg remained outstretched with what looked like a knee brace around it. "I am," Steed said. "And you work there?" The man gestured to the back of the flower shop. "Yes." A laugh left the man's throat. "Really? You look like a fucking accountant." Despite the choice of words, the tone wasn't condescending, more curious than anything. "Trust me, I've already been told I need to rethink my state of dress." There was no reason to tell this stranger that, but it was the truth, and it slipped out of Sadiq's mouth anyways. His eyes noted the visible tattoos over the man's body. "So, are you a customer, or do you work there?" The man cocked his head to the side. "You don't know who I am?" "You're the one who said I must be new here. I haven't exactly had a chance to get to know everyone on the block." "Hey, that's a fair fucking point." The man put out his cigarette and pushed himself to his feet. He took several steps forward. "Ed, and yeah, I do work here." Then the man must work for the infamous beardy that Lucius had warned Steed about the other night. He held off on any other questions, though. Considering how Lucius had painted the man's reputation, Steed had no idea how his questions about this man's boss might come off. He simply settled for giving his name instead. "Steed. You smoke?" "No, not really." "Shame. Well, I guess I'll see you next time you're taking out the bins, then. Night, Steed." "Good night," Steed replied as the man turned away and headed to the tattoo building. Steed's eyes lingered as the man pulled his long hair up and tied some of it back, though most of it still hung loose around his shoulders. He opened the door and disappeared inside as Steed headed back to the flower shop. "I was ready to send a search party for you," joked Lucius just as Steed entered. However, Lucius's face suddenly turned very serious. Or was the bin missing again? "Missing? Never mind," Lucius quickly said. "Button stole it once so he could have a better view for the full moon." "Which is actually 2 days from now," Oluwande said, "so best we make sure he doesn't steal it again." Lucius laughed and Steed hesitantly joined in. It was odd. In some ways, the eccentric, completely alien personalities, environments, and people around him made this all so damn terrifying. And yet, already talking to these people, even about insane things like a serial streaker who stole people's bins, felt more normal and welcoming than any conversation with Steed's family and friends. "We'll see you tomorrow," Lucius said. "Just remember, it's 10 o'clock this time. We only come in early on Mondays and Thursdays." "I'll make sure to remember that," Steed replied. And with that, his first day on the job was over. Not only had it been a successful one, but he'd met even more new people. Roach and Pete and Ed. Technically Buttons too, though that was less meeting and being more scared shitless by him. At least now he knew for a fact there weren't any actual statues in the park, so he wouldn't be so shocked if he saw him again. And he'd have to remember Carl, too. According to Oluwande, seeing the seagull around was usually a dead giveaway that Buttons was somewhere near. At least when Steed left, though, Buttons wasn't in sight, so any official greeting would have to happen for another time. If it happened at all. Steed headed to the bus stop and was soon back en route for his apartment. This time, his shoulder felt just the slightest bit looser. This has been a teaser podfic of Like a Flower in Bloom, How the Ink Flows Over Your Skin, written by Change the Circumstances, read by Ya Filthy Nerds. Please send the author some love over on Archive of Our Own. Thanks for listening.
Alrighty, if you enjoyed that fic, definitely head over to AO3 and look for Like a Flower in Bloom, How the Ink Flows Over Your Skin by Change the Circumstances to keep on reading. And tune in this week for the next episode of the Our Flag Means Fanfiction podcast. And be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at Our Flag Means Fanfiction, all one word.